Welcome to the Crossroads Podcast. From wherever you're tuning in, we hope that you're encouraged by today's message. Now let's dive into God's Word.
Hey, good morning, family.
Good morning.
God is good.
All the time.
Come on, everybody, let's give him a good praise. Come on, everybody. Man. All right, let's keep the applause going. 610 people have said yes to a life. 610 people robbed from hell. Come on, we can do better than that. Like, that's incredible. There are churches that go decades that never see that number. Okay, so I don't know how God's going to do it, but our goal is 2,000 this year, and we'll figure out a way. I mean, you're going to help me. Go to work tomorrow, and when you're with them, say, hey, is Jesus the Lord of your life? If they're not, pray with them right there. You text me, you get a hold of the church, let's add to that number, okay? And today, many of you, I'm going to ask you the same question that's found in our story in Mark chapter 10 is where we're going to be today. And the question that this young rich ruler asked Jesus, he says, what must I do to gain eternal life? And he asked the most important question that any person could ever ask. And I'm going to ask you that question today. And for some of you, they've never made a public declaration. This is your first time ever. Today, you're going to raise your hand and say, yeah, I want to follow Jesus all the days of my life. There's some of you, though, here, you hadn't been in church in a long time. Maybe your story is like mine. I gave my life to Jesus at the age of 17 in this church, and I quickly abandoned my faith and walked away from it. And even though I was far from the cross was never far from me. And much like on a Sunday like today, with my dad on this stage, I said, yeah, I want to come back to follow Jesus. And some of you are going to reaffirm your faith today, and we're going to say, welcome back home. So many good things God is doing around here. I want to share with you just some of our, what we call them, our CRC-isms as part of our culture. And one of those things is amazed but never surprised. We're always amazed, but we're never surprised. When there's a miracle, we're amazed, but we're not surprised that God still does miracles. Today, when people raise their hands to come into the kingdom, I'm amazed, but I'm not surprised that the Spirit of God is moving in your hearts. Amen. When God restores a home and a marriage, I'm amazed, but I'm not surprised that the power of God can heal broken wounds and heal homes and hearts. Amen. When a kid returns back to their family and back to the faith, I'm amazed, but I'm not surprised that God could bring a prodigal son or daughter back home. Are you with me today, church? When God heals people of leukemia and cancer, I'm amazed, but I'm never surprised because God still, who has faith in the house today with me? Anybody got faith? Come on, anybody got faith? And you got faith, let me hear you shout amen. So if one can chase 1,000, two, 10,000, what can God do with 600 of us and the hundreds watching online right now? What could God do with the amount of faith in this room? Amen. And we're going to pause for the cause right now. If you need a miracle right now in your life, I just want you to raise your hand right where you are. Thank you. Keep it up. Come on. Whatever that is, whatever that miracle looks like for you, whatever that means for you, just leave it up. Leave it up. All right. King Jesus, I'm asking you to do what only you can do through the power of your Holy Spirit. You know why their hands are raised. You know why they are here today. Maybe they're low in faith. Maybe they're having a crisis of faith because of this sickness, this situation, a trouble with their child, a trouble with job, bankruptcy, a death diagnosis, whatever it is. You're not caught off guard and you're not surprised by the things that surprise us or catch us off guard. So I thank you, Lord, that 7 days from now, we're going to be celebrating that the hand of God has moved in their favor. Heal those that need healing today. Restore those that need restoration. Do what only you can do, the power of your Holy Spirit today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Now let's praise him like it's happened. Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. Well, let's set down our digital devices just for a second. We say the Lord's Prayer out loud together, And this is a good way for us to center ourselves as a congregation. It's a congregational thing. We're like worship is congregational. Communion is congregational. This is something that's congregational that we're doing together. It's a 2,000-year-old prayer. It's still working today. Amen. So everyone say it out loud together with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen, amen. Praise God, amen. All right. Go with me to Mark chapter 10, verse 17 is where we're going to begin. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Our one truth today is, ¿cuánto cuesta? You didn't know your boy spoke a little Spanish. Un poquito. ¿Cuánto cuesta? What it means is, what does it cost, or what's the value? What's it worth? And we're going to be talking about that today, because the underlying current, the underlying question that I want to ask you, that I'm just going to ask you, not that I want to, I'm doing it now, is what is Jesus worth to you? What does it mean to love Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus, right? So I've been saying this for weeks. There's believing, which some of you are going to do for the first time today. Some of you are going to raise your hand for the first time today, and it will be the first time that you're making a public declaration that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and you're saying, yeah, I want to follow Jesus today. Some of you are going to return to the faith. So there's believing, right? If you're with me, say amen. Amen. And that's step one. Step two is following, okay? So there's believing and following. And so after you believe today, you're going to go up to my office to our believers class, and you're going to learn with other believers in our church what it means to follow Jesus, okay? And so as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's what you're doing. You're following your pastor as I follow Christ. So there's believing and there's following. Our story today is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's not found in John, but it's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I chose Mark's gospel because Mark includes something that Matthew and Luke do not, and we're going to get to that, and I'll let you know what it is. It's a very short but yet powerful statement that Mark includes in this story. So as we begin in Mark chapter 10, verse 17, setting this up, Jesus is having a discourse about marriage and divorce as the chapter opens. He goes into a house and all of these kids start running into the house, and his disciples are like, get these kids out of here. You know, it's adults only, you know, all inclusive. I don't know. He's like, get these kids out of here. And Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus becomes indignant and he's upset. He's like, hold on a second. Everybody, bring those kids in here. And this is important, actually, because in the first century in the Middle East, women and kids didn't have a lot of value. True story. But Jesus is showing value, and then Jesus makes this wild statement. He says, unless you come like these kids, you can't even enter the kingdom of heaven. Right? Then we get to verse 17. As he leaves the house, he goes into the street. A man, a rich young ruler, a man came running up, greeted him with great, what? With great reverence, and asked, good teacher, what must I do to get eternal life? Or some versions say, what must I do? So what do I have to do to get eternal life? Probably the most important question, again, that anyone could ever ask of Jesus. And again, I'm going to ask you this question at the end of our time together. And here's what we have to pay attention to. Jesus could have said very easily, this story could have been over in like three sentences. Because Jesus could have very easily said, oh, believe that I am the Son of God, that I am in my Father is in me, and you're saved. Jesus could have said that. I mean, that's what I'm going to ask you to do, Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you're saved. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus does this Jesus cryptic thing. And if we're not paying attention, we'll miss it. Now, before we go any further, if you're with me, say amen. Amen. Everyone look at your pastor. If you're a guest, just come back so I can be your pastor. Let's put a ring on it. Let's just be done with it, all right? You found your home. I want to apologize in advance if you've ever sat under preaching, false preaching about this message. There have been some televangelists, there's been pastors who have used this story to manipulate people in their church who have money. This is not a story about money, and I will show you. This is a story about love, and this is a story about eternity. Yes, he was rich. Yes, he was young. And yes, he had power. Come on, all the young people. Trifecta. Right? Y'all were like, sign me up for that right now. Bless me in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Because, you know, like, sometimes you get older in life and you do have the means, the wealth to do. But, man, you're like, I don't have the youth that I had. I got all the money now, but I ain't got no muscle left. I got all the money, but no energy. But this guy was young. He was Jewish. We're going to find out how we know that. He was young. He was wealthy. And he had power. Man, to be young, to be rich, and to have authority, to have power. This guy had it all. Or so it seemed. And he comes to this rabbi. He comes to Jesus out of reverence. And I'm on verse 18. I didn't get very far. And Jesus said, he said, good teacher, what must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus said, why are you calling me good? No one is good. Only God. Now, hold on a second. I think Jesus is good. Anybody else? Yeah. But Jesus is doing something really powerful here. He's redirecting, as he always does, to his Father. Right? If you read all the Gospels, Jesus is constantly pushing everybody back. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. The Father and I are one, right? If I am in the Father and you are in me, right? So he's like, listen, I'm not even good, but only God is good, right? What's the first commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. So he says, well, hold on a second. No one is good, only God. You know the commandments. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Honor your father and your mother. He goes over the last five commandments found in the Ten Commandments. And the guy says, teacher, I have from my youth, I've kept them all. This is a good guy. He's rich. He's young. He's powerful. And he's a good Jewish guy because he's saying, I've checked all those boxes. I haven't murdered anyone. I haven't committed adultery. I've honored my parents. I haven't stolen anything. I've done all of that since my youth. And Jesus looked at him. Here it is, hard in the eye. And here's where only Mark records this. And what does this say? And he loved him. He looks him hard in the eye. And say it with me, and loved him. Mark is the only one in the recording of this story that says that Jesus loved him. Jesus loved this guy. And today, Jesus is looking at all of us hard in the eye, and he loves us. Look at your neighbor and say, he loves you. You're like, maybe, I'm not for sure, but I think he does, yeah. He looks at him and he loves him. And listen, it's out of the abundance of love that he has for this guy that Jesus can say the things that he says next. If you truly love someone, sometimes you have to tell them a hard truth. Yeah? You might call that just an awkward conversation. Anybody ever had one of those? Maybe with the person you're sitting next to? not us, but other marriages. You know, like, yeah. If you join our staff, one of our culture things that you have to agree to is that we will tell the truth to one another, even to the last 10%. You know, that last part that nobody wants to talk about, right? He's a big old elephant, you're hiding in the room, or like, let's bring that guy out and talk about him. And so Jesus loves him enough to have this conversation. He looks at heart him in the eye, and he loves him, and he said, there's one thing. Go sell whatever you own and give it to the poor. All your wealth will then be heavenly wealth. Come and follow me. Verse 22, the man's face clouded over. This was the last thing he expected to hear, and he walked off with a heavy heart. He was holding on, what? He was holding on tight to a lot of things and not about to, what? Let go. Now, skip to verse 28 just for time. Peter speaks up. He tries another angle, right? If you've read any of the Gospels, Peter's running his mouth all the time. Simon is. He's saying weird things, doing weird things, you know, in awkward moments, cutting all people's ears off, you know, trying to walk on water, doing all kinds of stuff. And Peter's response is to a subset of scriptures I'm not reading, just for our time's sake. And Peter's saying, well, wait a minute. Like, we left everything and followed you, which is true. And Peter is really saying, like, look, if there's no hope for this guy, what about us? There's no hope for us. You have to understand, in the first century in the Middle East, as it is today outside of Israel, what separates the Americas, what separates Western Europe, is that we have a middle class. Today, in the Middle East, again, outside of Israel, there is no middle class. There is rich and there is poor. And in the first century, in Jerusalem, in Caesarea, all of these areas, there was no middle class. So the wealthy were looked upon as being favored and blessed by God. If you had wealth, it was because God had blessed you. And so that's how they were looked at. So as we're reading this, this is a fair context to the time in which it was written and the audience it was written to. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
So Peter says, we left everything and followed you. And Jesus says, mark my words. No one who sacrifices houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children, land, whatever, because of me and the message, they will not lose out. They'll get it all back, but multiplied many times in homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land. And if you're reading, but what? Well, that's not fair, Jesus. He didn't have to say that, right? Come on, somebody. Like, why do we have to put that in there? Jesus, the gospel would have been amazing if you just would have stopped at houses and sisters and mothers and children, but it's John 16:33. In this life you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Amen. And then the bonus of eternal life. This is once again the great reversal. Many who are first will end up last, and the last become first. Is there anybody in here that spends a lot of time on Facebook Marketplace like I do? Confession. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Double portion. Thank you. God bless you. See, you didn't. You could have raised your hand. You got a double blessing, but you didn't. You're going to find the deal of a lifetime today. We'll be laying in bed at 9. She's on her phone, on my phone. She's like trying to look over. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, looking at cars. She's like, why? And I was like, because I want to. I don't need them, but I want them. And sometimes I'll, you know, message them. And I'll say, hey, I see you want $10,000 for it. I'll offer you $7,500 for it. Come on, are you with me? Or maybe it's just junk that no one needs, and like it's like free, come and get it. And I'm like, oh, I'm totally going to that house to get that. Like, I need that 2x4. I need that. Come on, you know what I'm saying? Like, it'll sit there forever in my garage and never be used, but I got it. Because here's the thing about value and worth. It's the same item. This guy's telling me in his eyes it's worth 10,000. I'm saying it's not worth 10,000. To me, it's worth a lot less. And that's the thing about value. It just depends on what you assign the value to. God loves us so much that he sent his one and only son. God like really values us. Are you with me today, church? He thought of us, he thought we were so valuable to him that he bankrupted eternity to send Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Come on, somebody. Because here's the thing, it's not what you say that matters most, right? It's not what you say that matters most. It's our actions, right? It's what we do that is really saying like who we are and what we believe. You can have someone tell you to your face that they love you and not really love you. Preacher, pastor. I'm just saying, like, it happens all the time. And so my opening question was, ¿cuánto cuesta? What is Jesus worth to you? How much do you value Jesus? Here's what I love about this story that is never taught. Never taught. And I don't know why, because it's not about money. This is about following Jesus. This is about how much do you love Jesus. This is about, this guy just happened to bring his wealth. It could have been, insert anything you want in this story. Whatever idol you have in your heart. In the Gospels, if you're with me, say amen. In the Gospels, Jesus rarely hands out personal invitations to follow him. You just don't see it. I mean, the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, he heals her, get up, go sin no more. Jairus' daughter, she's healed. I don't have to go to your house. I just speak and your daughter is whole, right? Lazarus in the tomb, come out, Lazarus. He doesn't say, Lazarus, come and follow me. Over and over, story, miracle after miracle, the lame beggar, the 12 lepers that came to Jesus yelling, Son of David, have mercy on us. He heals them. He doesn't ask, come and follow me. Jesus rarely hands out a personal invitation to anyone and says, come and follow me. As far as we know, the 12 disciples get this personal invitation from Jesus saying, stop what you're doing and come and follow me. This guy gets a personal invitation from Jesus. It wasn't the disciples. It wasn't one of the 72 followers. It was Jesus himself that said, hey, I want you to follow me. I want to be your rabbi. I want to be your teacher. And this guy turns down a personal invitation face to face with his creator and says, no, I can't follow you. I'm holding on too tight to what I have. I can't let go of that to grab a hold of you. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us where this guy goes after this. He has power. He has youth, which means he can run. He's athletic, right? Maybe he runs back to his riches and his homes. I don't know. But we know that his soul is still asking a question, what I have right now is not enough. Right? If the power, if the money and the youth were enough, why would he humble himself in front of everybody by falling on the ground and saying, what must I do to get eternal life? Everything that he had had up to that moment still was not enough for his soul. Check out this video.
I had the American dream happen to me. I got the great job. I was good at it. I bought a house. The house had a pool. I had the American dream. And I really, really liked it. Loved it for about 6 months. And then I walked in my house and went, oh, man, this is not fixing this problem that I have. How is that possible? Jim Carrey did a really good quote a few years ago, and he said,
I wish people could realize all their dreams and wealth and fame, and so that they could see that it's not where you're going to find your sense of completion.
You know, that message is very powerful, because I thought it would fix everything, and, you know, it didn't.
And that's a voice from beyond. He's no longer alive. So wherever you are financially, that's not what this is about. This is about, what are you holding on to so tight that you can't let go of to follow Jesus? It's in the Bible. It tells him. He's telling this guy, man, if you give up a house, you give up a mother, a sister, I will give it back to you, and twice. I'll double down on the blessing that I give to you in this life and in the life to come, depending on what version you read. Come on, somebody. Jesus knows what he's asking of us when he says, come and follow me. He's aware of the risk of following Jesus. He knows what it's like to follow him. He understands the risk involved of saying, yeah, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ all the days of my life. There are going to be some really good days. Oh, and that scripture that says, and in trouble. Right? I love this quote by Tim Keller. We are more wicked than we ever dared believe, but more loved and accepted in Christ than we ever dared hope. We are more wicked than we ever dared believe, but more loved and accepted in Christ than we ever dared hope. You see, listen, church, on the cross, God looked at Jesus and saw us. On the cross, God looked at Jesus and saw us so that he could look at us and see Jesus. Are you with me today, fam? He looked on the cross and saw us so that when he looked at Jesus, he could see us. Jesus loves us. He loved this guy so much to say, hey, let go of that and grab a hold of what I have for you. I don't know what Jesus means to you. I don't know how much you value him. That's between you and him. But we have an opportunity today to express how much we do love Jesus, right? How much we do want to follow him. Proverbs 14:12 tells us this: there is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end there is death, or leads straight to hell. This guy had a plan for his life, and Jesus was saying, it seems right, but it leads to death. Are you with me today, fam?
Thank you for joining us today. For more information about Crossroads, visit crcbelton.com.